If you would turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Thank you, JL. We are so glad you're here this morning. Joe made a comment in class. He said, keep praying for rain, but be specific. Pray for the month of July. So he put it quite well. Usually this time of year, we're preparing for a great cookout at our house on Monday. And I don't even know if we have any plans this year. My wife will let me know. But we gather and think about Memorial Day. And it seems like it's a whole week ahead. And usually it's around my birthday, which is coming up next weekend. And you know what that means. In 5 days, I'll be 56. But in 5 days, I'll be 5 days closer to my death. And so will you. We have to remember that we are finite. We're going to be here for just a little while. A week ago on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we gathered at a cemetery up in the north part of Wichita in a mausoleum that was built either in the late 1800s or the early 1900s. And I was looking at some of the names and some of the dates. There were a few people that were in there that were born in 1829 and died in 1906 and were put in the mausoleum at that point. And I wondered how many people remember them today. You know, life is so short, and there'll be a day that I'll die, and my children, God willing, that we'll all die in the faith and go home to be with the Lord, and even my grandchildren. And then there will be a time when people will, you know, if they have a little pebble that they put somewhere with my name and birth date and date of death, pebble, you know, save space, if they'll remember me. Most won't, and that's okay. Because in reality, Christ is worth remembering for eternity. There will be people who will forget you and me, and that's okay. But the real Memorial Day is on the first day of every week. I turned around and I said to JL just before we got started this morning, I wonder if the four guys sitting up here to do communion could sit there until after I did the sermon and then give communion. Of course, we know that would throw all of you into confusion. You wouldn't know what was happening at that point. But we have a memorial that we gather for, and the reality is that memorial is not just a very short time of the worship service. There's more to it than that. And so this morning, quickly, I want to hurry through with this and say three real important things. The first one's going to be very brief. But in this shared memorial, there is a sense that we have to prepare. We have to prepare for this memorial. It's not something that we take in about 11 minutes. But that's about how long, 8 to 11 minutes. That's about how long we take on an average Sunday morning, 8 to 11 minutes to partake of communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, part that JL did not read, beginning at verse 27, there is this very serious and sober thought that Paul interjects into this discussion about communion that the church at Corinth had abused. Therefore, whoever drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. See, there is a preparation. When we get ready to partake of communion, we have to have already examined ourselves, which points back to the hours that I spent living for Jesus this whole past week. Because the reality is, I don't get prepared for worship on a Sunday night. I get prepared for worship as soon as worship is over. I'm getting prepared for the next worship. It's a matter of mind over matter. It's a matter of making sure that my principles and my priorities are correct and that I am in the realization that of all things worth remembering, God is worth remembering on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that first day of the week on Sunday. It's not just an 8 to 11 minute time. It requires reflection. Before I take of that bread, how did I do this last week in living for Jesus? You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. How did I do this past week? And so I think back, and if there are some moments that I didn't do quite so well, I need to ask God to forgive me so that I can be in the right frame of mind when I partake of communion. Because communion is about fellowship. That's what the word commune means. John, writing in a time when people wanted to be religious but didn't want to be Christ's, he wrote about people who claimed to have fellowship with God yet walked in darkness. First John chapter 1 verse 6. And if you've got your Bibles or your electronic device, if you would turn back to 1 John chapter 1 beginning at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. This is all about fellowship. The memorial feast of which we just partook is we are joint participators in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. We are saying, yes, we believe that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. We believe that he was resurrected, and we believe that that blood will cover any sin. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it is repented of and confessed before God. Am I echoing? Am I echoing, Don? Echo, echo, echo. I could hear reverberation, and either I'm getting really old or my ears are getting feeble. Just turn it down just a smidgen. But the reality is, we must examine ourselves. And I'm talking about people who are in Christ. I'm not talking about people who are outside of Christ, because outside of Christ means that we're still sinners. We're still in sin, and God cannot fellowship sin. But those who are in Christ, we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to repent. We've got to admit, we've got to confess that we are still sinners so that we can partake of this in a worthy manner. See, point number one, didn't take so long, now did it? But the question is, how disciplined of a disciple was I this last week? And if I wasn't very disciplined, I have some sin that I need to confess and repent and turn away from. But number two, participate. We did this together. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, wait for one another. So we've waited, and the 10:30 hour came, and those people who came are here, and we partook together, and that is the point. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in my Bible, right across the page from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the passage that was read, he deals with a situation of people who were living hypocrites. They were committing hypocrisy by fellowshipping Jesus Christ on Sunday in communion, but then also going to the temple feasts and having their communion with those things that were not God, starting at verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. We would all say, I've never committed idolatry, and we just might be wrong. If we have put anything ahead of God, we have committed idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? We are saying, not only did Jesus give his blood, but I'll give my blood. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? And we're saying, not only did Jesus give his body, but I will give my body as well. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. So he's saying we are joint participators. The Greek word koinonia, or koinonia, however you want to pronounce it, deals with the concept of fellowship, that we're together, that we're having everything in common, and it deals with joint participation, that we're all being involved in this together. We're having everything in common. And it doesn't matter whether you took a big piece of bread or just a little corner of the bread. This morning I accidentally took a little bit more than I normally do. That's not significant. It's not the amount, it's the fact that I've thought about, I've prepared for, and I've participated in what Jesus has done for me. That is the motivation for Christian living every day. Not just an 8 to an 11 minute period of time on the Lord's Day. In Philippians, the third chapter, we look at another verse. We drop down to verse 10. And in this, Paul talks about the fact that there were some changes that he had to make. But I want to start reading at verse 8. There were changes that he had to make. And so Saul had a lot of things that were going wrong, but Paul had a lot of correction to make to Saul. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, there is the word communion, koinonia, of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, most of us know this stuff. We know that, yes, we've got to start preparing for communion as soon as worship is over with, and that may mean this morning, and that may mean tonight. But it's not something that I start thinking about at 20 till 11 on Sunday morning. The real memorial is remembering how Jesus lived and me following after how Jesus lived, which leads me to my third point. We have something to proclaim. We have something to say to people. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that passage that was read, Jesus said this is my cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul made this application. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There is a large segment of people in the religious world today that want to believe that Jesus died accidentally. And oh, have they missed the point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died intentionally. It was God's eternal plan from before the creation of the world. And so we turn our Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 3. And we want to start reading at verse 10. God's church is not an afterthought. It's not a second thought. It was before the first thought. It is the prototype of heaven. It is the very place where God's people find salvation. And it's the place where God's purpose is lived out in the church, not just in the assembly. His intent was that now through the church, that's each of us being a member of the Lord's church, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with confidence and boldness. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So Paul would write that this was God's eternal plan, that through the church, God's manifold wisdom would be made known. And in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 14, he said, "How much more then will the blood of Christ..." That blood is so precious, that blood is so important. God wants us to honor blood so much that we will not touch it. Of course, whenever I cut my fingers, as I did this past week, first thing I do is stick it in my mouth because I want it to stop bleeding. I don't want it to get on me, so I get it in me. That makes perfect sense. I didn't get it on my pants. Joe, don't look at me like that. Okay, my wife has said that I'm an idiot. Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to give you that chance. But blood is so precious. It's the blood of Jesus that has brought everything to a spiritual completion. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Not only is the plan of Jesus a promised eternal plan, it brings about a promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Now we understand this. We have a message, and it's not Jesus failed and he's going to come back. It's that Jesus finished the will of God. He completed the plan, and he offers heaven. Amen. And he offers the kingdom of heaven. So that when we're baptized into Christ, we're not just added to the church. When Jesus was talking with the apostles in Matthew 16, and he said, "Who do people say I am?" Well, some say you're a prophet, or you're like Elijah. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the promised Messiah." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of what? The kingdom." In the same breath that he said the church, he said the kingdom, or shortly thereafter, because the church is the kingdom. So we proclaim that there is a fulfillment of God's eternal plan. When I've had that bread, when I've had that fruit of the vine, we are proclaiming God's eternal plan. And it's not going to change. There's not going to be pizza. There's not going to be hamburger. There's not going to be Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper on the Lord's Supper. Now, you might be surprised to find out that there are people who will go to that extreme. Those people have gone beyond the scriptures. I don't know about if I'm eating pepperoni pizza, I really don't think I'm thinking about Jesus. First thing I want to know, is there enough sauce on it? Because I like a lot of sauce on my pizza. But when I take of this simple unleavened bread, I know it's the body. And when I take of this simple fruit of the vine, I know it's in reflection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I proclaim the removing of the old and the bringing in of the new. Because Jesus said this blood is the new covenant. We're not drinking this thinking of rams and bulls and doves and pigeons and lambs and goats. We are drinking this blood thinking of a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who has brought us to a new covenant. In Hebrews chapter 10, speaking about the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus. I don't have time to read all of verses 5 through 14, but I'm going to select verses 9 and 10. And this should be in red letter. Red letter. Here I am. I have come to do your will. That's Jesus talking. He, that's Jesus, sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, you mean he set aside the first will to establish the second will? Yes, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We say thank God and praise God and glory hallelujah. I know we have trouble saying glory hallelujah and praise God, but they're biblical terms. And we ought to get to that point where we can say praise God. I know if I were to try to teach you how to say that this morning, we'd be here a long time. But yet we realize the end, and it comes down to this. We proclaim one last thing. We proclaim complete reconciliation. Complete. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. That passage that talks about if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Well, there's a few other things that he has to say before he gets to that point. But he says, beginning at verse 14, for Christ's love compels us. Why do we follow Jesus? Because Christ's love pushes us forward. It compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If there's someone here this morning that has not been reconciled to God, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Tomorrow will be a day that we'll forget sometime down the road. I don't even remember what we did last Memorial Day. I know, sometimes I just don't pay attention. But when we come together, we must be prepared, because we've prepared all week. And we realize that when we partake, we are sharing together. We're at the same place. We have the same frame of mind. We have the same Lord, and we're partaking of the same emblems that proclaim that Jesus ended the law, that Jesus has brought about the complete fulfillment of the prophets, the Psalms, and the promises of God, but also He has brought us complete reconciliation. We are not adopted stepchildren. We are adopted children. And the Bible says in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. It's all about Jesus. Christianity is all about remembering Jesus every day and minute of my life. And you see, that affects the way I work at work. That affects the way I play when I play. You know, if I go play softball or if I fish. Now, I'm still going to deceive fish. I'm still going to throw in my spinner baits and my artificial lures to deceive fish to bite. I'm not giving that one up. But I'm going to live by the truth. I'm going to obey what Jesus wants me to obey, and I'm going to be the best person I can be, because we have a shared memorial, and it compels us. It pushes us forward in a world of darkness. There's a little light that shines. My sons are quite different than I am. I'm afraid of a lot of things, and it seems like they're afraid of nothing. But I enjoy going camping with all of my family, and I especially like having Tristan come along, because when Tristan builds a fire, he doesn't build a fire. He takes a pickaxe and a shovel, and he digs down about this deep in a circle that you could drive his truck in. And he puts rocks all the way around them. And he gets these 5-foot-long timbers, and he stacks them up, and he gets everything below it that's needed, and he lights the fire. And usually you can see the fire at the Winfield City Lake from here. When he does something, he does it. And that inspires me. Because when I do something for Jesus, I need to be like Tristan building that bonfire. I need to do it 100%. And not just for me. I'll kick a couple of rocks around and there's a hole big enough to put some of these 6-hour logs that you can light and they'll burn. Because I remember one time burning something and not having any eyebrows or eyelashes or the front of my hair. I'll let him take care of that. Folks, are we prepared? Are we prepared to go to heaven? Have we been participating, not just in communion, but in real Christianity? And have we been proclaiming that Jesus is Lord? That's what the emblems of this memorial are all about. If you're here this morning, we're glad you're here. If you have struggled with Christianity, you're in the right crowd. Because so have the rest of us. If we can pray for you, we would love to do that. If we can assist you in any need that you have, even a benevolent need, we would like to take care of that. But if there's someone here this morning that's not been reconciled, we implore you, as we stand and sing this song, and as Roger stands, and as Jim comes forward, we invite you to be reconciled to God and stay that way. Come while we stand and sing.